It's a pleasure to have you join us today as we turn our attention once more to the Word of God. We are now in the midst of a 12-part series on discovering your destiny. In addition to this sermon recording that you find on our podcast, you can also download an outline of the sermon as well as some discussion questions if you go to our website at www.livinghopecc.us/destiny. God bless and hope you enjoy.
Come to church here, and then after church, we could all go together, right? Yeah. If we could carpool, hey, Jason, can you make this higher? I know I'm short, but yes. All right. So we could all carpool, right? We could drive together. Amen? All right. If you would rise for the reading of the Word of God, I want you guys to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Okay, Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at a few verses, starting with Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Okay, are you there? Yeah, all right. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read 11 through 13. It says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I?'" Everybody say, "Who am I?"
"Who am I?"
"That I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt." So he said, "I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What's his name?' What shall I say to them?" I want you to flip to Exodus chapter 4, okay? Verse 1, it says, "Then Moses answered and said, 'But,'" everybody say, "But. Suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you." Let's jump to verse 10 in chapter 4. Okay. "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But," everybody say, "but. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.' So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have I not the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say.'" Verse 13, "But," everybody say, "but." "He said, 'Oh Lord, please send by hand of whomever else you may send.'" Father, I thank you that today you are pointing your finger at our butts. Butts in our hearts, not in the back. God, you want to respond to our butts, and you want to set us free from our butts, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, that we would truly see that you are with us, and we are with you. And when we are with you, that's when our destiny is realized, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when you feel like you're just not enough, anybody felt that way lately? Yeah. When you feel like you're just not enough, when you feel like you're empty, when you feel like you have nothing good to give, when you feel like you're not worthy, when you feel like just giving up, when you feel like you have no fight in you left to fight, when you feel weak and powerless, when you feel like you have no desire left for greatness, when you feel like quitting, when you feel like just accepting what is now and forget about what you once believed, when you feel like just believing the voices that's been speaking to you, saying, "You're just not good enough," or, "This is all there is, there's nothing more." When you feel so empty, inadequate, and unimportant, you know what the Lord is saying to you? When you feel this way, then, everybody say then, you are really ready for your destiny. At the burning bush, God reveals Moses' destiny. And Benjamin talked about that last Sunday through his video, right? But here, after 40 years of spending time in the wilderness, as God comes in a fire, right, and reveals Moses' destiny, Moses is not too excited to receive that revelation. And he responds to God with buts. Okay? Today, my title of my sermon is called But, right? But, this is what Moses said. But, who am I? Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, who am I, God? What if I'm not spiritual enough? What if I'm not anointed enough? What if people question me? What if they ask who I am and who sent me? What shall I say to them? I have nothing to say. Who am I? Number two, but what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to my voice? Huh? Exodus 4:1. What if they question me that you actually appeared to me and sent me? They're not going to really believe that you appeared in a burning bush. They're not going to believe me. Who am I? Number three, but I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. I don't speak so good, and I stutter, right? Exodus 4:10. And not only did he say, I can't speak well, look at him. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. It's like, even before and after you appeared and you touched me and you talked to me, even after you came, even after you touched me, you spoke to me, I still cannot talk. I'm not gifted enough, Lord. I don't have what it takes to set people free. Three buts. And you know what? God answers his three objections. By number one, I am that I am. Who am I? He asked. God says, I am that I am, and I will be that I will be. You don't think you're spiritual enough? Just spend time with me. Just walk with me. You don't think you know me well enough? Just walk this thing out with me. Then you'll know. You'll get to know me. I will reveal myself to you. And as you know me, you will know yourself. Second response, you don't think they'll believe you or listen to you? What's that in your hand? Stick? I will use what is in your hand. I will perform miracles with what is in your hands, and they will believe you. You know what I realized? Oftentimes, we want God. You know, you want to win lottery. Like, you want to win a few million dollars, and there's so much that you could do when you win that, right? Or open doors, and just God just... Often, we look outside of ourselves for breakthrough. But often, God uses what is already in us. What is already in your hands. That doesn't seem that great. That doesn't seem that spiritual. That doesn't seem that good. He will always use what is in your hand, and it will be enough in God's hands. The three response. You don't think you're gifted enough? You can't talk well? Who gave man his mouth? You know what? I did. So you know what? I will be with your mouth. Don't worry about what you need to say. I will be with your mouth. I'll tell you what to say. Right? At the end of the day, those objections, the three buts of Moses were just excuses. Because even after God adequately responds to all three objections, at the end, Moses still doesn't want to go. And he just simply had to say no. God, send someone else. Just send somebody else. Isn't it interesting? 40 years ago, he was so ready to become a deliverer, but God wasn't ready to send him. But 40 years later, he's so not ready, but God is so ready to send him. Huh? Often your timing and God's timing, they're so different, right? God used 40 years in the wilderness to empty Moses. Everybody say empty. Empty him of his pride. Empty him of his self-reliance. Some of us today may identify with younger Moses more, right? We're in the beginning. I want to do something great. God, open doors. God, anoint me. But some of us, a lot of us, even the younger ones, we identify with the older Moses. 80 years old? Isn't that too late? Don't you feel like it's just too late? Maybe 10 years ago, right, Daryl? Maybe 10 years ago, but now that I'm 41, really? Isn't that too late, huh? Some of you have come to the point at which you feel like maybe you have run your course. You've lost all sense of drive or enthusiasm. You've been humbled by the years of dashed dreams and deferred hopes. The word of the Lord today to you is that you are more ready than ever for a revival of your destiny than you've ever been. Because now you are empty and God can freely flow through you. In order for God to bring us into our destiny, he must take us through a painful process of emptying. Everybody say emptying.
Emptying.
Of our own ambition and self-reliance. You know that need to look good? You know that need to be wise? That need to be powerful? That need to be needed? God takes us through 40 years of spiritual, 40 years of wilderness to empty all those out. Even, everybody say even. Even if God has determined to give you the very thing that you are ambitious for, he will simply redirect your ambition towards his kingdom through the wilderness process so that you could completely, wholly possess the very thing that God has destined you for with the purity of heart. Amen?
Amen.
At the very place in which Moses felt he had missed it, he actually had just found it. At the very place at which Moses felt he was no longer qualified, right there he was fully qualified. At the very place at which Moses felt that he had lost all sense of futurity, his future was only just beginning to unfold. In order to prepare you for your destiny, God must empty you of yourself so that he can fill you up with himself. You know, I just came back from Hong Kong and I shared it with our leaders during Sunday shift. I never, ever felt this empty in my life going as a speaker, right? I felt so empty. Usually I feel full, right? And I'm like, all I have to do is take the inheritance of living hope and I just got to give. Whatever God's been speaking to us, wherever I go, that's what I give. But this time I felt so empty that no matter how deep I looked, I had nothing to give. I have no words of prophecy. I have no unction of the Spirit. You understand? I had no deep revelation. I was so empty. I was so empty that I had to like message like five or six of sisters here at Living Hope. I was like, you guys, I'm about to preach, but I feel so empty. Please pray. And so they started to pray for me and respond and encourage me. One thing, though, was this, that I was empty, but my faith was, God, maybe I'll be like an empty water hose. You know, water hose is empty. When you look inside of the water hose, if something's there, something's wrong, right? It blocks the flow of water. So maybe, God, I feel empty. It's because you want me to just become an empty water hose and that you will release your spirit through this emptiness. That's the only faith I had, right? And you know, I remember Chinwei or Jessica or Jen, like three of them took turns at different, you guys didn't know, right? But three of you were taking turns texting to me exactly at the right moment I needed. It's like in 5 minutes, my first session starts and it's like, oh, whatever I prepared, it just didn't seem like that was it. Like, whatever I prepare, I work hard, I pray, I prepare. It's like, this is not it. And the service starts in 5 minutes. Oh, God, right? And so I'm like, you guys, I still have nothing. And they're like, we believe in you. And, you know, they're encouraging me. But you know what? Their encouragement, they didn't tell me what to say. But their encouragement, their presence through Facebook message strengthened me. I was able to draw strength out of their presence at that time. I wish I can say that every session was so powerful and God moved powerfully. Everybody got slain and healed. I can't say that. But you know what? There were a couple of services where it was like I was just a witness, right? And I just saw God move. And then there are other couple of services where I just had to walk away by faith, knowing that God, you gave, you must have given what they needed to hear.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't have to find my security and value in how they respond.
Yeah.
But God, that you are mighty and you love them so much that you would even use someone who's so empty to bless them. You know? And you know, what's crazy was a lot of people came to me and said, Pastor, how did you know? I'm like, I didn't know. They're like, everything we have questioned God to each other, you answered every session. After every session, when we had a group and we were like, oh, that's good. And then but what about this? And what about that? And the next session, you would answer that. I was like, oh, yay. Yay, God. Right? Obviously, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, you are strong. Can you say that? For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, God spoke to me every day before every session. Neseki, remember Neseki? Everybody say Neseki. It's like my baby girl, or yeah, right? My little baby. Neseki, when you are weak, don't be afraid because I am strong. I will be your strength. I will be your wisdom. I will flow through your emptiness. And you know what God said? Sonny, draw strength from me. Don't look at your notes and computers and no, just look to me. When you feel empty and weak, I'm here. Draw strength from me. And draw strength for your sisters that you are in covenant relationship with. I said, okay, you guys, pray. And I really did feel strong. Every text message, Jen, Jessica, Chinwe, every message you sent me, I literally, physically felt strong. And so even though I had nothing for sure, I was able to walk out into each session strengthened, because I was able to draw strength from God and strength from my sisters. Moses, after 40 years in the wilderness, he was empty of any ambition, power, or giftedness to become a deliverer. That's why he said, send somebody else. And because he was so empty, that God was able to lift him up and make him a deliverer. Peter, in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, this is when Jesus reveals himself to Peter. This is what Peter cries. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know what? Peter knew in the presence of Jesus that he had no good thing in him. But you know what? That is the very moment when Jesus called Peter to become a fisher of men. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. Let me read it to you. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. When you're empty, that's when you are truly ready. But you see, but when you're empty though, without faith, you cannot take another step. You're empty, one hand, but you gotta have faith in him in your other hand. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 4, right? Widow comes to Elisha and says, help me. My husband died, and the creditors are coming to take my two sons as their slaves. I have nothing. And Elisha asked the widow, well, what do you have in your house? He said, only thing I have is just one jar of oil. And Elisha said, go borrow empty vessels. Go get as many empty vessels as you can. And when you do, close the door and pour the oil into empty vessels. And you know what? As long, ever say, as long as. As long as there was an empty vessel, the oil flew. It kept coming out. I want you to look at verse 6, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 6. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. As long as there was an empty vessel, the oil came out. But when all the vessels were full, and there wasn't any empty vessels left, the oil ceased flowing. God will always use what is in your hands. But this is nothing. I said, I was just like Moses. I said, God, what? You want me to preach and prophesy? That's Benjamin's anointing. I can't speak. I am not articulate. I'm not wise. I can't lead worship. I can't prophesy. One thing I could do, though, I could love people. And I used to say, Benjamin, you just preach, and I'll just hug people. And I remember Benjamin used to say, I mean, that's good if that's where you're called to. But, Sonny, I see a vision of you prophesying over the nations in front of thousands. I see you preaching and prophesying. And I was like, what? That is not who I am. You do not know your own wife, right? If you don't know me by now, you will never, ever, ever. He used to, for 2004, our first year, he's like, you're preaching. I'm like, what? That's your job, brother. Let me do the overhead. Remember that? I used to do the overhead, right? That was my ministry. You're taking me away from my ministry? I'm like, no, you're preaching. First week, I was tormented. I was tortured. And I thought, it's because this is not my gift. And I told Benjamin, you are tormenting me. 2 a.m, Sunday morning, with tears coming down. Please, husband, have mercy. You preach. I don't got this. I don't got this. I don't have it. People are going to laugh at me. And Benjamin's like, nope, you're preaching. Right, Chinwe, he did that to you, right? Like, you're leading worship. You're our worship leader. What? No, I'm a song leader. No, you're a worship pastor. What? Okay, go and do it. What? It's like either walk on water or drown. Right? Walk on water or drown. But you know what? I didn't know what I had. But you know what I had? I had passion for God. Even though I didn't know that I could preach and prophesy, what I knew was I was so passionate for God that I was willing to die. Actually, that used to be my dream, to be a martyr, until I had aletheia, right? You all know that, right? Because I had passion, I'm willing to try anything, right? What was in my hand was passion. Passion. And you know what God did? He used that. He used that. Well, it's okay if you don't speak so well, but you're passionate for me. Will you do it for me? God, for you? I'll give my last breath. If I'm willing to die for you, I could look foolish in front of people. God always uses what is in your hand, even if what is in your hand seems nothing to do with what God is calling you to do. Right? My passion for Jesus seemed like it had nothing to do with preaching or prophesying, but God used what was in my hand. And you know what? The oil will come out in and through what is in your hand as long as there's an emptiness. But you know what? In this day and age, we don't have a chance to become empty. Because we kept filling ourselves. A few minutes, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. It's like we don't give ourselves even a few minutes to be empty. We have to fill Netflix on the phone, right? Always, always doing something. Always connecting with something. Oh, always editing pictures for those Instagrammers, right? Always. We fill ourselves with small things. And we are not empty before God. A vessel is not useful when it is already filled with something else. If my vessel, let's say I'm a bowl. And let's say I made Korean kimchi soup, right? So good. Who hasn't had a kimchi soup yet? Okay, you're coming over. I'll make you some, all right? With some tofu and Spam. Benjamin would be like, all right? Let's say I made it, and I had leftover, and I filled it up, and I put it in the refrigerator. Let's say the next morning, I want some Korean spicy noodles. If my one bowl is filled with something else, I cannot fill it with something that I want. Even if I want to eat, and right? But the vessel is already full with something else. That way, God wants to fill you up. Are you empty for Him to pour Himself into, or are you full with something else? Today I have a very, very simple message. Okay? Short and simple. Yay, right? The word of the Lord is bring your emptiness to God. Your destiny is not dependent upon how full you are with knowledge, education, experience, self-confidence, and even success. He's not looking at your vessel saying, where's your confidence, huh? Where's your education? I told you to go to school. Where is your, huh? He's not asking for that. What he is looking for is an empty vessel. I think a lot of older brothers and sisters in this room, I think will understand. Sometimes when we're young, we just want to fill our vessels with whatever because emptiness doesn't feel good. But when you get a little bit old enough, right, you understand. You don't want to just fill yourself with anything, but with what is right and what is best. And God is saying, for your destiny, all it takes is your emptiness before me, not what you can make or not what you can fill it up with on your own. Your destiny is fully, wholly, and completely dependent upon me. Only in me will you find your destiny, the Lord is saying. Only in your emptiness will I be able to flow through freely. And this is what the Lord is saying. Do not despise your emptiness. Do not be ashamed of your emptiness. You are enough. Everybody say, I am enough. As empty as you are enough. God is saying, you are enough to have me. You are enough for me, for I will be who I will be in you through your emptiness, for it is for my glory. You know, when you are in an intimate relationship, in a covenant relationship, you are just enough. You don't need to be so wise. When Benjamin tries to be so wise just before me, I'm like, come on, brother. Yeah. He doesn't need to be wise. You understand? In a covenant relationship, you don't need to be wise and great and powerful. That's kind of annoying, actually. I just want your presence. Don't say anything. Just hold me. Don't try to fix anything. Just be with me. Just hold my hand. Even when you are empty and weak, you're enough. You know, when I landed last Thursday, I told you I ministered out of emptiness and God moved. Praise God. But I still felt empty, right? And I'm coming, and you know, Sharon came to pick me up and Alethea, and as soon as I saw her face, I literally almost cried. I'm like, oh, Sharon! Why? Because I was finally in the presence of the one that I know that I am in relationship with, covenant relationship with, the one that I love, the one that knows me, the one in her presence. I don't have to be so wise and strong. I don't have to perform. You know, in the car, I didn't have to say anything. I could just say, I feel so tired and empty. And that was just enough. It was enough for her. And her presence was enough for me. She didn't need me to be this anointed pastor to prophesy over what she was going through. No. She just enjoyed my presence. Right, Sharon? You know why? Because you're enough. In covenant relationship, you're enough. And you know God, what God is saying? As empty as you feel like, you're enough. And God is saying, I'm enough. I'm enough for you. I am able to take you and release your destiny in your life, in your emptiness, because I am enough and you are enough. God is saying the same thing to you, my sons and daughters. I don't need you to become somebody so great. I just want you. For you are enough. Today I ask you, what are your buts? But God, but what are your buts? What are your objections? What did you once believed but lost faith? Can you trust God to be God even in your emptiness? Will you allow God to speak to your emptiness? Will you allow God to fill your emptiness with Him? I want to give you homework. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, your homework this week is figure out how you can draw strength from God and from your community. Okay? When do you experience emptiness? When do you feel weak? And when you do feel weak, what can you do? What is a specific thing that you can do to draw strength from God and to draw strength from your community? Yeah. I hear the Lord saying to Living Hope, you know, as a house, we believed for a lot of great and big things, right? And some we've seen, and a lot we haven't seen yet. And it's okay for us to continue to believe. But I hear the Lord saying, through this destiny season, can we just stop? And just like Chinwe shared, right? So many things to do, so many distractions, but God just lifted her face to Him. Can we just stop and look to God? And can we just say, God, You're enough? And can you believe His voice when He says to you, You're enough? But I failed. But. No, I want you to bring your butts to God today. Can you arise in His presence? I want you to open your hands to God like this. I want you to present to Him your butts, your disappointments, your lack of faith, maybe your lack of desire. Come on, surrender your butts. Surrender your butts. Empty yourselves from those butts. Come on, come on. Empty your bowl. Empty your vessel with all the doubts that's been filling it up. All the doubts and fears and the lies of the enemy that have filled you up. Right now, God is saying, pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out before Me. Bring your butts to Me and bring your emptiness to Me, for I will fill you with who I am. For I will be who I will be in you, in your emptiness. For you are enough, for I am enough. Come on. I want you to draw strength from the presence of God right now. I want you to hear the voice of your Father saying, you are enough. You may not be as loud as Pastor Sonny, but you are enough. All the introverts and the quiet ones, God is saying, you are enough. You don't have to be like anybody else. You are enough. You are enough. But God, I failed. I've sinned. But God is saying, no, just bring your butts to Me. Even then, you are enough. When you come to Me in your emptiness, that you are really ready. That's when you are really, really, really ready to be filled. When you are really ready for your destiny. So God, today, we lift our eyes above our empty vessels, God. We lift our eyes above, God, the things, the worries, the stress, the lies, God, the unbelief, Lord, the things that have filled my jar, God, we pour it out before You. And we accept our emptiness, that in me, within me, God, I can do nothing. There's nothing good in me by myself. But Lord, as I come before You in my emptiness, God, I receive Your voice. Your voice, the Father's voice that is saying that it's okay. It's okay. It's okay that you haven't accomplished what you thought you would by now. It's okay. It's okay that you don't feel so powerful. It's okay. It's okay. My son, my daughter, it's okay. Come on, I want you to draw strength from that truth, from that voice of your Father.